It is March 29th, 2020, and it's been a couple crazy months. It's Brian Mason here, and I'm with my good friend, Andrew Mitchell. How's everything doing tonight?
Ready to rock.
Another
day in the corona catastrophe.
Right? Another day. So I guess we could start by just briefly just explaining what are we doing here. Why don't you start by giving a little background about yourself and why we're doing this podcast?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we've been friends for I don't even know how long, since like third grade, maybe something like that. And I've been just following, I have no economics background, no finance background or anything like that. Just a small business owner like yourself. And the last like 3 or 4 years have been really trying to learn, you know, finance and just paying attention to the markets and all that stuff, because I've always, you know, had this sort of underlying feeling that things, you know, were way more complicated than they should be when it comes to finance. And just, you know, like anything I sort of find myself drawn to, I need to really dive deep and sort of, you know, figure out what's really going on. And, you know, as more, you know, as I started doing that, I happened across Bitcoin, and that's really been, you know, the main, you know, focus of mine, you know, aside from just, you know, everyday life and stuff like that, since I started going down that rabbit hole. And yeah, that's really it, you know, aside from you know, from a financial perspective, that's really what I'm mostly paying attention to. Obviously stocks too and everything like that, just because they sort of are intertwined. And you know, that's sort of how we found ourselves, you know, really talking in the midst of all this going on in the last couple months. So.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I was reaching out to you because, you know, I want to invest in Bitcoin, to be frankly. And, you know, I sense everything going on in the financial markets, all this instability. I've been a precious metal investor for some time now. But I want to diversify and make sure that I was positioned looking forward into what's coming next. Because like you, you know, I just had a sense of that something just wasn't right here. You know, I come from a family of financial advisors, and my mom was a financial advisor, my uncle, my grandma, and it's actually a business that's still open today. And, you know, so I come from a finance background, but like you, I haven't really studied this, you know, for a long time. But I just always felt like that there was something wrong with the stock market. I felt like it was a casino, gambling, you know, what is it? Because I just felt like, you know, the economy could be doing so poorly, but the stock market could be doing good, or like inversely. And I just felt like it wasn't necessarily correlated to, you know, the real value of this country or what we were doing.
Yeah.
That disconnect always made me a little hesitant as I got older, especially after college. So, you know, I'm glad we're having these conversations, you know, give our audience some perspective. We've been having daily conversations for probably about, 4 or 6
say
weeks?
Close, like actually exactly a month, because I think it was February 28th when you hit me up saying, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to pull the trigger.
Ready to stack some sats. So I was like, yes, this is about time, you know?
Yeah, dude, you gave me so much good advice on how to get started with that. So I was really appreciative, and I got in at a really good time, at that low point. So that was nice. But, you know, we know that there's way more upside potential than that, you know?
Yeah.
So
Yeah. I mean, I think it was interesting timing too for why, I guess, I don't know if this was the reason, but I mean, right. And we can sort of, I guess, we're going to sort of recap what's happened at least a little bit in here, but that was the day, I think on the 27th of February was like the first real crack in the stock market, and sort of where things started to go into free fall. And, you know, a lot of people, myself included, really see Bitcoin as, you know, both a hedge to the current to stocks, but also really as a call option on a new financial system. That's sort of like the lens that I see it through. So, it's just interesting that the timing that sort of things have, evolved that way. When things started to crack and, people sort of, I think what's going to happen, not in the immediate term, but like, going forward, maybe like 3-6 months, even, a little further, that, if things continue to go the way of downside in traditional markets and, a falling economy, that I think more people are naturally going to look for other solutions, because things are broken right now.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's, to kind of piggyback off what you said, that's why I went to Bitcoin. I've been thinking about it for a while. I never understood it. I still don't understand it. I don't think anyone fully really understands it. But what I would say that what it means to me is it just means that it's freedom. It's true capitalism. You have a 24/7 marketplace. There's no, you're not stopping it. There's nothing to,
there's no circuit
always there. Exactly. So that's kind of, which is nice, because I felt like our economy or our stock market was so puffed up and manipulated, from all the printing and debasing of our currency over time. All the debt, zombie companies, all these things adding up. And I felt, as soon as I felt that stress crack, where we started talking, that's when I knew. I was like, I got to get in. I got to get in now or else. So I'm happy I did. But, and I'll continue to as we progress here. So,
yeah, it's there's a long way to go, and it's not that, at least from Bitcoin, still, I feel stronger, I have real supreme conviction in it, but there's still, there's still ways to go. And, it's like, whatever happens to it, like the last, I got into it in middle of 2017, and just like the amount of like the things that I've learned, just like you just sort of get sucked into this rabbit hole. There's so many, different areas and disciplines that are, you have to understand to really comprehend at least, what's really going on there. And, we could probably get into that, in later episodes. But conversely, I would say I have the exact whereas you're just coming into Bitcoin, I'm more recently coming into gold too. So that's sort of another, thing that we've been chatting about and stuff.
Right.
And so we have this like inverse relationship as to
where
we're coming at it from, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, I was first introduced to gold and silver through Mike Maloney and a video series he put out, Hidden Secrets of Money on YouTube, which I highly, highly recommend. If you're watching this, honestly, just pause this and watch that, because you're going to learn things that 99% of people don't know about money. First off, that we don't use money today. We use currency. Money has to store value. And currency doesn't store value. All fiat currencies, every single one, exception none, they've all gone down to zero at some point. So I don't know how the US dollar is any different. It's a fiat currency. When you have thousands and thousands and thousands of fiat currencies since the beginning of mankind, all going down to zero. And so I think that speaks to your point, Andrew, when you were talking about something new coming. I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I want to hedge and protect myself and protect my family and, create real wealth. I got to be open to the possibility of, things changing.
Totally agree.
And with the speed that things are moving, and you're hearing flashes of this digital dollar or this and that, it's crazy, all these things that are happening so quickly. And I feel like it's just going unnoticed. And I think people, even in quarantine, they have some time. I still think that people don't have an understanding of what's happening, not only from the market side, but obviously from the virus side, the coronavirus. And that's kind of what I wanted to lead into next was, why don't we talk about coronavirus and this whole landscape and how that's obviously played a huge factor in this?
Yeah.
Where we are
today. I think that's the whole reason why, you know, we wanted to start this, right? Because we've been talking about pretty much on the daily, like, what the hell is going on? Because there's so much happening. I've seen a couple of people on Bitcoin Twitter and financial Twitter share this quote recently. And I think it's from Vladimir Lenin, where he said, there are decades when nothing happens and weeks where decades happen. And we're in one of those times, you know?
So, absolutely.
So I think that there's so much going on, and it's so easy to get overwhelmed with, you know, what's happening with the virus. We're not experts at all by any stretch of the imagination, but I think what it would be good to do, and I think at least the starting off point here, would be to try and sort of, you know, share, you know, things that we find compelling and just that you might not necessarily hear on mainstream media and stuff. And to take it back to your question, from the timeline, I've been paying attention to the virus and just sort of keeping an eye on it since I think the middle of January. And the person I've been really, who has honestly called this, you know, down to a T, is Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity. And we'll definitely link to his videos. He's been on point, you know, like basically I think on January 28th or January 30th, he's been doing daily updates, daily video updates on the coronavirus. And on January 30th, I think he put out a video, we'll link to it, where he basically called exactly what was going to happen. That time, the first case in the US was on January 20th. So from that point, we knew that it was here, and that, you know, there was a city of 14 million people in China that was completely shut down. There was, you know, this is like the equivalent of what we're going through right now, where New York City is a ghost town. You know, there's no one out there. You know, you can't really, you know, the whole economy is shut down. And this happened in a city of even bigger size in China at the end of January. So he sort of called that, you know, unless drastic measures weren't taken in the US and around the world, that, you know, this would escalate into what we have right now. And that's, I think, as of the time of this video, there's 600,000 or so cases worldwide, 30,000 deaths, and, you know, the world has changed probably forever.
Right.
Which is scary to think about, but, you know, that's the reality right now.
I just had a question about Chris Martinson. So where does he say we are in the process right now? And then, you know, people can go check him out on YouTube.
I think really where he's at is just more so about, you know, I mean, he's already sort of called out like what, you know, what we should have done, but it's really about protecting yourself and, you know, maintaining social distancing, which seems to be the right play. And really, you know, I think at this point, it's more so about just protecting yourself, you know, because it's here, it's, you know, it's going to spread. If we don't do what we're doing right now, which is, you know, quarantining, you know, it seems like it's going to just continue to run rampant. And really, I think the main risk is to our healthcare system, not necessarily that a lot of people are going to die, but if there is, you know, I think it's like 15 or 20% of cases where people need to be intubated. And if, you know, that there's a finite amount of number of ventilators, and that's really the main risk, is that the healthcare system gets overrun. So,
right.
Yeah, a lot of implications.
Obviously, the death rate would climb, you know, as more doctors and nurses get sick and they have less and less equipment.
Yeah.
So, you know, naturally, so we want to avoid that situation. And I think, you know, the mainstream media has gotten that across, you know, the whole flatten the curve idea. Yeah. I will say, you know, in terms of that, I do like that. Where I feel like we could have done more is just the timeliness of it. Yeah. I don't feel as though we acted quick enough. I think we had plenty of lead time. Half the world had already gone through it in the preceding 6 weeks. You know, so it's unfortunate. We could have, you know, potentially saved a lot more lives and protected this, but we are where we are now. And Yeah. So
there'll be time to look backward, and I'm sure, you know, 6 months from now, when, you know, hopefully this is sort of subsided and we can get back to some semblance of normalcy, I'm sure, you know, all of the hit pieces will come out on, you know, who didn't advise, you know, Trump, or, you know, if Trump ignored it, you know, and just, right. I mean, because, you know, he certainly played it like that. You know, there's so many clips, even as, like, I think as recent as March 9th, where, you know, he's saying it's just going to go away like a miracle, you know. Well, you need a little more than a miracle for to contain this. I think it was pretty obvious for quite some time. But what I think is crazy, and, you know, like looking back on it, you know, just starting again from that January 30th date, where, like, it was officially called the World Health Organization called it a national threat to, you know, the world or something like that. There's some term and that they used. But so from that point on, Wuhan was shut down, you know, and it was clear that there was already at least one person in the United States and, you know, several other places all over the world,
right,
that we had a stock market that refused to go down for another 20 days, you know. Like, I mean, it was just crazy, you know, and, like, when you're in it real time, it's just like you see all this stuff going on, right, but it's just getting ignored by not only politicians but the market, you know.
Right.
And it, you know, as every day that went on, it was pretty much painfully obvious that, you know, we were going to experience this. We're on the same timeline and at the same fate as China, you know.
Right.
So,
well, yeah. speaking of the stock market and coronavirus, like, you know, I think I want to pull a distinction here, is that, you know, all I see is the, you know, coronavirus causing the stock market crash. That's all that's being, you know, toted around all the news medias. And I honestly believe that coronavirus is just simply a catalyst. You know, I think that, you know, some of those underlying issues in our stock market and our economy, I mean, we have so much debt and we're creating money at unprecedented rates in the last couple of months, but even in the last 20 years, it's just been insane. We're addicted to credit cards. There's more zombie companies now, companies that their profits can't even pay the interest on the loans outstanding, and they just keep refinancing, and this has been going on for years and years and years, and keeping them afloat. And, you know, the 2008, you know, obviously with the bailouts there, and now it looks like we're just repeating that. Like, we didn't learn anything from that. I mean, cruise ships are getting handouts. I mean, this is, to me, it's insane that we're repeating the same thing from 2008. They're going straight back to that playbook, but at a larger scale. And they're just doing it faster and faster and faster and more and more and more. It's nice this time that they're actually thinking about the people a little bit, and they're, you know, throwing us a little bone there. What I'm nervous about is, you know, once we get that little bone, you know, is it ever going to stop? Are people going to become then relying on it? And, you know, does that money now have strings attached? Like, hey, you're not going to get, you know, you can't get your $1,200 payment unless you get your vaccine shot, or unless you do this, or unless you sign up for this new digital dollar system and we can watch all your money. So I'm very cautious about, you know, what's coming next and all the legislation or things that are bills that they're passing. And I'm just very cautious about what's coming next, because I just don't feel that, I don't feel like everyone's being honest.
Don't say. Don't say. Yeah.
I mean, I'm betting against the status quo here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in a lot of our conversations offline, I mean, that's just, you know, we keep coming back to, like, you know, that there's some shady shit that's going to come out of this. And
yeah,
it already is, you know. I mean, if you compare this to 2008, it's not even it's not a comparison. Like, right. Yes, we're bailing out. There's everyone's getting a bailout. It's like, you know,
everyone,
like, you get a bailout, everyone, right, gets a bailout, you know. And I mean, the
amount. And it's not just here, though. It's the whole world, though. And that's the other unique situation, right? Because, you know, in 2008, you're talking about the U.S. economy and these bailouts. And but now you're talking about a worldwide issue. And it just seems like it's a race to the bottom where everyone's just printing their currency into oblivion, essentially. And all I can see that the cause of this, and, you know, we're not feeling it now or not yet, but I just see the inflation coming after this because, I mean, you pump up the money supply, you know, it's not going to be worth as much. Yeah. And that's just, and at the accelerated rate, you know, that's what I was nervous about. And that's why, again, I'm looking for a hedge, or I'm looking for another way that's not a traditional approach.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the rate of the capitulation by the Federal Reserve, and also just the, I think, you know, pretty soon we're going to have 10 trillion, you know, the balance sheet is going to double. You know, I think it's at over 5 trillion right now, but you take into account when the stimulus is all said and done, I think that equaled up to like 6 trillion, you know, till 2 trillion immediately. And then another 4.5, I think that can be, you know, at their discretion based on.
And this is just the start.
Yeah.
And this is just the start.
And we're still, you know, I mean, this is in the matter of 3 weeks, essentially, maybe 4 weeks, but 3 weeks, you know, there's been, you know, about $5 trillion created. And, you know, like.
Hyped into a screen.
Yeah.
$5 trillion. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, and I think a lesson that we've learned from the past 10 years and all the monetary intervention that's happened is that it's hard to undo those things.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Like we had after 2008, interest rates were zero for a really long time. And then they started to gradually get, you know, raised. And I think what it peaked out in December 2018 was that final rate hike where there was a significant downturn in the stock market. And, you know, that was at 3%, you know, of interest rates. And basically what happened was the stock market and, you know, signaled to the Fed that, no, we can't handle this. You know, that's why everything sold off then. And that was the beginning of the capitulation, right? They all of a sudden, Jay Powell, you know, sort of said, you know, got way more dovish saying like, we're going to be accommodative. And here we are, you know, a year and change later, and we're back to zero. And, you know, and six, you know, the amount of like trillions printed, you know, we're talking about $1 trillion platinum coins. You know, like who's, you know,
some of the proposals that they've rolled out are just crazy.
I know. It's so hard to make sense of it. But I think what we've learned is, you know, from the past is that once you put something out there to make it easier, right, like QE or rate cuts and stuff like that, it's near impossible to reverse that, you know.
Like
we could probably pull up a chart of the balance sheet and it goes straight up, you know.
So you're talking 20 years now, but just easy money and cheap money for everyone, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the bubble, essentially.
Yeah, but not for the small business owner.
Obviously not for the small business owner.
All right, but yeah, but yeah, for friends of the Fed, right? You know that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's crazy. So yeah, it's just it's sort of mind-boggling that, you know, we found ourselves at this point after, you know, three weeks ago. You know, Trump was saying it's the greatest economy in the world. And here we are, six, you know, trillions of dollars later, and, you know, a 20-30% drop in the stock market.
That also confused me because, like, you know, the longest bull market ever, the strongest bull market, you know, but I don't know. I didn't feel like, you know, unemployment was so low, everything. But when I look at my neighbor or I look at the guy next door, it's like, I feel like everyone's struggling still, you know? I mean,
yeah, for sure. I mean, there's that statistic, you know, the half of the country can't afford a $500 expense.
Exactly. In the best economy in the world ever, but the average citizen can't afford. So something's skewed, right? Something has to be skewed there tremendously. And that's what we need to get to the bottom of and figure out. And that's what the goal of what we're doing here. And
we have our suspicions, I think.
Yeah, we definitely have our suspicions. Yeah. But I hope that, you know, with this podcast that we're able to really, you know, talk to other, you know, other, you know, everyone, but other small business owners just like ourselves too, because I think it's important. Our country was built off of small business. You know, I was walking down the street the other day with my wife. We went on a walk and I see this guy chopping wood. He sells wood, but I just see him out there. He's obviously invested back into his land. He's built up his house. He's got a nice basketball court in the back. He's got, you know, this place to cook out and have people over. This is what America was built off of: entrepreneurship, people starting their own businesses, and, you know, just going for it, taking some risks, moving to a new city to take that job. Now that's, I feel like we're heading towards a place now where I get afraid is where now people are going to be looking for handouts more than ever and be dependent on that. And so when we're in that situation, I think that we got to take a step back. We got to reprioritize and look at how we can structure the society a little bit better. And I think that starts with getting back into our roots, getting back into small businesses, reinvesting in small businesses, starting small businesses, and really helping out your neighbors, helping out your local community, and just spreading good information and vibes to everyone. That's what I hope to do with this podcast. And I think, you know, we're both along for this ride. So
yeah, I think we just need to, you know, sort of, you know, share the things that sort of we're fascinated by and find interesting. And really, I think one good thing, you know, that we can sort of, that I think will lead to come out of this virus is, like, you know, less globalization, you know? I mean, this is sort of like, you know, like, we're reliant on China for so much, you know. I think like 80% of our antibiotics are from China. So it's I mean, it's just, we got to get back to a more local and stronger foundation, you know.
I think,
and this might be the trigger. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of positives and stuff that come out of this, but I think there's a whole lot of negatives too that can potentially go wrong. Like, you know, what's the Corona version of the Patriot Act that comes along with this? Or like you said, you know, you're going to have to prove vaccination for some random drug that hasn't been fully vetted.
Right. You
know, just to get your
Trump. Yeah. So Bill Gates can pump me up with something, you know?
What the fuck? Crazy.
Yeah, man. Well,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, you know, with where we are now, you know, and where we're headed, is there any recommendations, you know, right now that you could give to some people on what people should be looking at right now?
Yeah, so I, you know, what I've been most interested in the past 3 years and sort of where I dedicate pretty much all my time to learning and is, you know, around the Bitcoin space. And for people like yourself or anyone that sort of is interested in sort of like learning, like, basically the main premise, at least investment thesis, and why I think it, you know, is, you know, the thing to own, you know, going forward, is an article by Vijay Boyapati, who it's called The Bullish Case for Bitcoin. And it pretty much lays out, you know, like, exactly the bullish case and why, you know, I have such strong conviction in it. So we'll link to that. And there's another article too, once you finish that, and sort of have a base that's more technical, but it sort of explains the genesis and the context for which Bitcoin was born. And really it was born out of the 2008 financial crisis, really. Satoshi, you know, there's a reason why the message in the Genesis block says, Chancellor's on the brink of the second bailout of banks. You know, I mean, it was created in the exact environment that we find ourselves in right now, where there's chaos in financial markets and, you know, money is being printed as far as the eye can see the money printer girl Burr, you know. That's the greatest meme ever right now. It's just, I can't get enough of it. But it was created for situations exactly like this, you know, out of control printing and just, you know, not sound money. We're on the exact opposite of sound money right now.
Right.
So that article is called Planting Bitcoin by Dan Held. It's a 4-part series, goes into pre-Bitcoin and the birth of it to a couple other things, sort of how it's grown into, you know, the network that it is today and why it has value. So those are two articles that are very accessible. There's a lot of things in Bitcoin that are, you know, completely technical and like very hard to grasp, but those two pieces are very accessible to the average person. And it's really more so on the economic side of it and the fundamentals of why it exists and why it's valuable. So we'll link to that.
Cool. Yeah. When you sent me that article, I think you actually sent it to me. Was it written a couple of years ago?
Yeah. I want to say like in 2018, if I remember correctly. Cause yeah, I think the very first conversation that we had,
yeah,
in the depths of the Bitcoin bear market, literally at the bottom, I think it was like in December,
right
around, it was either November or December. It was either
I was back in Christmas, New York for the holidays. Right? Yeah.
It's Christmas. So we were at like $3,000 and change Bitcoin, which you know, was like, I think I bought some on the Cash App right then and there.
You did it in front of me. You're like,
just buy some right now, you know? But yeah, I always send that to everyone that you know, that wants to learn, because I think it just, he does such a good job of just sort of laying out the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm a total Bitcoin noob, and that article, I wasn't ready for it back then, but I read it not too long ago, and that article is a great article, so definitely check that out. And then I would definitely recommend, I gotta give a shout out again to my boy Mike Maloney, Hidden Secrets of Money. Go check out the series on YouTube. What you're gonna learn is the difference between money and currency, how we're not using sound money. You're going to understand about our banking system. You're going to learn about how they scam you, how they cheat you, how the stock market works, how it all goes hand in hand with each other. And he's also going to give you a lot of the history of different empires, like the Roman Empire and different civilizations and their monetary history. And you're going to learn about all that history. And what you're going to find is that it always ends in gold and silver. And that's why I got onto it. But go check out that series. Very well done.
I love Mike Maloney. He has such a calm, soothing voice, you know.
really does.
I'd love to have a beer with him.
He's a riot. He's a good guy. He's helping a lot of people, and he's been on this mission for a long time. He traveled the world giving talks with all sorts of top-notch speakers on monetary policy and stuff. So
yeah,
he's really legit. So definitely check him out.
Yeah. What I find really valuable about that series in particular is, you know, it really asks the question, what is money? And not a lot of people really even consider that, you know. It's just something that
accountants don't know, bankers don't know, most people don't know what actual
and how it's created in our current fiat system. So it's just like, Just like the article I mentioned, I feel like why that's so good is it's very accessible to, you know, not like, you know, finance people, you know, like not for, you know, anyone. Like he just clearly lays it out. You don't need to know about interest rates or, you know, balance sheets, you know, or quantitative easing or any of this crazy nonsense repo that, you know, that's,
no. And it's entertaining. It's entertaining to watch too.
Yeah.
And check out episode 7. Yeah, exactly. Episode 7 is what's happening right now, actually. So
that's the deflation one, right?
Yeah, that's the deflation one. So you're definitely going to want to watch all the way through episode 7 as fast as possible. So, but I think that's a good stopping point for here today. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
No, just I'm excited to go on this journey and sort of, you know, just continue doing what we're doing, talking about what we see and what's going on and sort of things to pay attention to and, like, you know, keeping a check on the powers that be, you know?
Absolutely. No, totally.
I'm important right now. You know?
I'm totally with you. And as, again, two small business owners ourselves, you know, we really want to be putting information out there for people that want to take control of their own lives and make sure that this country remains one of the greatest countries in the world. So, exactly. So, all right. Well, I guess that's it. That's episode one.
In the books.
In the books, put it down. Blocks and bullion, let's go. And signing off, all right? We'll catch you next time. We're going to be posting videos on the 1st and the 15th. We're going to start there. 1st and the 15th. I know you won't forget those dates. They should be ingrained in your mind. So
it'll probably be when your stimulus checks start coming.
Exactly. That's when the money will be coming, all right? So, oh, man. So
ones and zeros, that's all.
All right. Well, until next time, thanks, Mitch. I appreciate you as always, all right?
Same to you, bro.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.